You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Contemporary Sermon Series, led by Reverend Chris Harrison in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
I don't know if you've been around here, but if you've been around here for the last couple years, you know that our rides looked a little bit like the weather looked last week, up and down and roller coastering around. A couple years ago, Jim Welch was our senior pastor at the time and announced that he was retiring. We knew that God had a new plan for him and a new season. So in July of 2017, we transitioned from Jim to Reverend Scott Dornbush as our senior pastor here. A lot of you know 2017, when we got to the end of August, was a tough time for all of us. Harvey hit, smacked us upside the head, some of us more than others. Right in that same season, towards the end of that year, our worship leader in the Vine moved on, our chancel choir director moved on, and then shortly after that, Scott had a heart attack in January and passed away in February. Now, dealing with the trauma of all of those things together really could have made us crumble, or at least really distracted us. But by the grace of God, that did not happen. By the grace of God, we kept our focus on God. By the grace of God, we kept our focus on one another. By the grace of God, we kept focusing on moving into small groups and getting closer. We found Ryan to come and to offer himself in beautiful ways to the Vine. In fact, in some ways, our focus, and maybe it's because we were singing, "Lord, I need you," differently than we ever had before. In some ways, our focus on God intensified during that time. People didn't pull away. In so many ways, people pressed in love with God and in love with one another. Then an additional level of transition started happening. Bert came in July. We had staff that started resigning, not because Bert came in July. Reverend Ellen resigned the end of that year. And then we started having staff that were changing job descriptions, that things were waking up inside, and it wasn't just happening to our staff. I think as we were pressing into God, that I started seeing this in so many different places. People who had been doing ministries for a long time who says, "You know, I think it's not time for me to do that ministry anymore." And it's like as soon as they set it down, there was something else that God was going, "Okay, but I want you to be focused on this." Or when they were saying, "I'm going to set this down," it's almost like there was a waiting pair of hands to go, "Hey, if you need to set that down, how about I pick it up and carry it for a while?" And so new people started showing up to be up here. New people started coming together for Kairos teams. Things started happening because we were pressing into God, and we were having people all around us who were seeing that there was a step of faith that God wanted them to take. And they didn't necessarily even know that's where that step was going to take them. But all they knew that something in them was crying out to say, "Take the step and trust me." I found myself in the middle of that time as well. It was interesting as I was seeing it happen in the life of others. I was marveling at that and amazed. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of this too. And I was on a vacation, and we were driving back from our vacation, and I was kind of in one of those prayer times. You probably had one too. "God, what do you want me to do? Give me some clarity. What do you want me to do this next chapter of my life? What do you want me to be about?" And we're driving along because, you know, my family's big. If you don't, I have 8 children. Oh, yeah, that's between 7 and 9. I only had 6 of them with us, so it was really kind of a light trip. But they were all busy. My wife, Laura, she was busy. I'm driving. We're coming back from Michigan, and of course we're driving. And we're going, and I'm praying to God. Yeah, my eyes were open. I'm praying to God, and out of it all, God in a moment just said, Chris, I want you to be closer to me than you ever have been for the next chapter of your life. He didn't tell me what the next chapter of my life was going to be. What did he do? He just said, trust me. I'm already out in front of this one. On the heels of that, we go on this crazy pastoral retreat in November, and all of a sudden, all of us are talking about prayer. And God's going, listen, y'all are pressing into me, but you need to be even closer to me. You need to be listening a lot more than you're talking. You need to be letting me guide you through my Holy Spirit and not just seeing our conversation as me just throwing up a wish list that's trying to convince a reluctant God to do what I want him to do. But instead to be listening for where God wanted us to go. We threw that out to the leadership here in the church, and we said, you know, instead of having meetings and tacking on a little prayer because we're a Christian group, why don't we come together for prayer and see where God can lead us in all that? It led us into that series we just did, Kingwood United. And God was always out in the front of all these things in beautiful ways, so that even when we got to that crazy thing called General Conference that we just went through, that we had already been speaking aloud, that we were united, and that we're united in things that are bigger than things that might try to rip us apart. Because God was out in front. And that was so cool to me. I mean, If that's not cool to you, if you can't grab a hold of that and look at that and go, that God loves you and I so much that he'll go out in front of that stuff, then you haven't taken a deep look at what God is trying to do for you and I. Because when you and I run into something, and if we're angry at God or disappointed or frustrated, nothing that you and I go through, nothing that we say ever surprises God. He's always out in front of it. And he's always out in front of us, calling us to follow him, to trust him, to go deeper with him. And that call, the way we do that, that's that prayer. That's the increased focus on prayer. To let God speak into it. To let God create the space that we need to deal with it. And then to hear what he wants us to be a part of, that Missio Dei that we talked about, God's mission on earth that we become a part of. Not that we plan a mission trip and then say, hey, God, will you bless us as we're going out the door? But instead be listening to God saying, here's what I want you to be about. All right, God, how do I join you in that? How do I align my way with your way and let your way be the most important part of the conversation? And this bold call to us, And I don't think I'm making it bigger than it really is. I'm probably even selling it short. But this bold call out to us feels to me a lot like one of my favorite parts in the Bible. It actually comes to us in Acts chapter 2. It's that moment when the Holy Spirit comes to that group of people that are gathered for Pentecost and changes the world, changes the church forever. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God. And it immediately transformed their ability to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. And in fact, the scripture goes on to say there are people from all over the known world that are there in Jerusalem at the time, and all of them can hear the good news in their own language because of what the Holy Spirit is doing. In the middle of this amazing moment, Peter stands up. Peter, the first to really lift up his voice, and as Jesus said, to be the rock, to be the foundation that the church would be built on. Peter stands up and he raises his voice and he addresses the crowd and he says, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." I always laugh at that line. Check back with us at 4:30 and maybe a different answer. No, Peter's going to tell everybody what's going on, and here's what he says. "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they'll prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. The moon will be turned to..." What poetic language. "This coming of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He tells them what's happening. This is what God has said is going to happen. And then he begins to share the gospel message with them. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." He tells them what they've done, what they've been a part of. And as they hear these words, as they hear the truth that they've been a part of actually killing the Messiah, of crucifying, the scripture tells us that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do?" They realized who Jesus was like never before. They have massive regrets for what they've done in not recognizing him or in following these other leaders. And their heart begins to cry out, "God, what do we do with this?" So Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call." Do you hear those words? Repent. Be baptized. Come to me. In the name of Jesus Christ, who has died for the forgiveness of your sins, come to me. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that will enable you to come to me. And this is for everybody. For everybody who will come. When we talk about repenting, repenting means to turn around, to turn away from. But I think in so many ways, we all also need to remember that repenting is not just turning away from something, it's also turning towards something. I can turn away from one bad habit and turn right into another bad habit. This is a call for us to turn away from the things that drag us away from God and turn toward God through Jesus Christ. I was at a prison training yesterday, and we got to see a little bit of the story of a man named James down at the Crosswalk Center. James started telling some of his story. He'd stabbed people. He'd shot people. He was in prison. He was in the white supremacist gang. He heavily tatted to tell the world that truth. And in prison, he was visited with people who brought the good news and said it to him in a language that he could hear. And so his heart was transformed. As he worked his way into this life, as he left that facility and entered into a 40-week-long discipleship program, a reentry program that Crosswalk Center offers, somebody from the church he started attending volunteered to give him the money to get rid of the tattoos, especially the ones on his head. And he said, "I appreciate that, but actually I have another idea." And what he did was, heavily tattooed, across the back, he got a new tattoo, and it said, "Forgiven," in bright red letters across the back of his head. Because instead of just wiping away what was there, what covered them was the forgiveness of Christ that went way before anything he had done and that he could now embrace to make it his own. Do you know that kind of forgiveness in your life? Do you? I mean, as we stand here and say, this is a great season to be repenting. This is a good time to be turning away. Is that your story and my story too? Are we setting aside what we need to set aside so that there's space for us to grab a hold of God and grab a hold of what God wants us to be? Are we joining in this work of the Lord? Are we joining? Are we being the church everywhere we are in our life? And when you think about those questions, when you say yes, is that a 20-year-old yes? Or a 20-week-year-old yes? Or is it a today yes? Yes, Lord, I need you today. Lord, I want to be zealous and passionate for you today. I want my light to shine brightly today. I don't want to just succeed as the world might measure my success. I want my success to be because I have grabbed hold of you and gone further into a relationship with you. But the truth is, coming into that relationship with Christ and even becoming the church and living into that is only part of the story. During this Lenten season, we are going to go so much deeper into a life of holiness that God calls us to. Too many times we look at okay, I get baptized, I become a member of a church, I get busy doing stuff, and that's the culmination of our faith right there. But God says that's not the culmination, that's one of the starting points. That's how you get deeper into relationship with one another. That's how you create a space, and he says, I don't want you to be satisfied with that. I want you to be uneasy. I want you to be discontent until you and I are close enough, vine and branches, that you are closer to me than in any other season of your life for whatever chapter is coming next. There's something deeper and more profound, and it's at the heart of who we are as Methodists. We're the people that have always wanted to live holy lives and to match our faith with our living in beautiful ways. So that's what we're going to step into in the coming weeks. And we're calling this series Further Up and Further In. We actually found a quote out of the book, The Last Battle. It's the last book in the Chronicles of Narnia series. I don't know if you've ever read these, or if it's been a long time since you've read them, I love them. I've read them several times in my life. And every time I read them at a different time in my life, they speak to me in a whole new beautiful way. This scene comes at the very end of the Chronicles of Narnia last battle. The battle's done. A door has appeared. And they have actually, through the door, watched the destruction of the old Narnia. It's that kind of allegorical comparison to when God will bring in the new heaven and the new earth, right? And so they're looking at the ending of the old Narnia, and they're wondering, what in the world has happened? But as they see the old Narnia disappear, they find a new Narnia. And they describe it this way. It's hard to explain how this sunlit land was different from the old Narnia, as it would be to tell you how the fruits of that country taste. Perhaps you'll get some idea of it if you think like this. You may have been in a room in which there was a lovely window that looked out on a lovely bay or a sea of green or a green valley that wound away through the mountains. And in the wall of that room, opposite to the window, there's been a looking glass. And as you turned away from the window, you caught a glimpse of that sea or that valley all over again in the looking glass. And the sea and the mirror, the valley and the mirror, were in one sense just the same as the real ones, yet at the same time, they were somehow different. What was through the window was deeper and more wonderful. More like places in a story you've never heard. One of the characters in the story, actually a unicorn, stamps her foot and says, "I've come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. The reason why we love the old Narnia is that it sometimes looked a little like this. Come further up, come further in." It's this breaking in of the new. It's the finding that what we've been looking into, Paul would say, it's like looking into a mirror dimly. That we think we've seen it, and yet we've only seen glimpses of what God would have for us. This Lenten season, I hope and pray that this deeper faith, this deeper move to holiness, that you and I will not just watch it from afar or see it happening in the lives of other people, that you and I will embrace it and move deeper and closer to God all along the way. So that the life we live is no longer just a glimpse of what it could be, but becomes a more full manifestation of who we've created to be. Now, we talked that at this table where we come to share that this is also a glimpse of the heavenly feast that one day we will be invited to. But as Jesus gathered those close to him, as he took the bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it, he wanted them to see that glimpse. He wanted them to see what he was offering to them. And he wants us to see that as well. Take and eat. This is my body which is offered to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup of redemption, because God's plan of redemption was being born and played out through Jesus' life. And he gave thanks to God and he said to his friends and to us through them, "This is my blood which is poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. Be changed forever. And never forget." So God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these bread and these cups. Help them to be for us what we need to go deeper, to go further in, to go farther in. Help them to be for us your body and your blood, your gifts, your means of grace, so that we might be drawn closer to you during this time, even today. May it all be for your glory this day, through Christ our Lord. Thank you.